good morning, everyone. And this is Reverend Julie Renee. And beautiful sunny day here in California. I just want to welcome you all to your life and to this special hour of miraculous living. And today we're going to talk about love and money. And this is a very wonderful subject for me. And of course, I'd love to teach it and have courses on both of the subjects. The Unlimited Love course, we've moved into November for your convenience. And the Extreme Abundance course is coming up next Friday, so you'll want to be tuning into that. This morning I want to tell you a story that I learned when I was in India in 1989 from my friend and teacher Guruji Keshavadas. It's about Lord Krishna. And Lord Krishna was this amazing, amazing incarnation of the God of love on the planet. And prior to his birth, his, the king of the kingdom, which was the brother of the mother of Lord Krishna, so Lord Krishna's uncle was the king of the kingdom, had his soothsayers tell him that a great lord would be born and would overthrow his government, and that he would be ousted from the kingdom with this nephew, and the lord would be born to his sister. And so the king, upon hearing this and on the advice of his advisors, he threw his sister and her husband in a prison cell. And actually got to go to that cell on several occasions and do ceremony in the prison cell. It still exists. And it's, Krishna was living on the planet maybe 3,500 years ago. And so they still have that prison cell kind of cave-like with no openings to the outside other than a door. And so they were put in this cave and they lived there and did their whole life in this, you know, very small, dark cave. And Krishna's mother had seven boys before Lord Krishna's pregnancy, before the pregnancy with Lord Krishna. But each time that the child was born, the mother was able to hold and love the baby for about 24 hours. And then the king's henchmen would come in and they would murder the baby. They smashed it on the side of the wall. And it was so heartbreaking to Krishna's mother. And she again was pregnant with a son, very much in love with her husband. And at that same time, one of her maids in waiting was also pregnant. And almost identical due dates. And there's just this amazing story that takes place, is that a little girl is born to the maid, the handmaiden, 3 days before Lord Krishna is born. So we have two newborn babies, and they're able to sneak the little girl in a water basin, and they take the little boy, Lord Krishna, out in the same water basin. And so they've exchanged, right after the birth, they've exchanged babies. And of course, Krishna's mother is just so interested in her baby living. And the handmaiden, they all assume that the king won't kill a baby girl, and so that the baby girl would live as the daughter of the king, or the Krishna's mom and dad. And the guards, the henchmen come in at the 24-hour mark and discover that there's a little girl there. And they decide to kill the little girl anyway. And so they're ready to kill her, and she leaps up in her goddess form and becomes a full-grown goddess and says to the henchmen, "You're too late. The Lord who will overthrow the kingdom has survived and is safe." And then she returns to her baby form, and the henchmen, of course, don't kill her. And so this Lord Krishna then is taken from this water basin, and he's snuck into a country home and is raised by a country woman. And she's got, you know, she's embodied, I see pictures painted of her, and I don't know how accurate they are, but she's a very full-bodied, round-breasted, round-bottomed woman. So she has a beautiful, kind of very full, luscious figure. And Lord Krishna gets kind of spoiled. He's living out in the country, probably more than about 100 miles away from where his parents are imprisoned. And he grows up, and he's growing up in the country. And there's lots of stories about Lord Krishna and the gopis. And these are the women who tend the cows, the cow herds. And so Lord Krishna has many, many girlfriends. He's quite the charmer. In his early life, he has a real predisposition for sweets and milk, and so he's often found getting into mischief, eating a whole, you know, cake of butter, or discovering a pie on the windowsill of the neighbor's house and eating the entire pie. And so Lord Krishna has this kind of very mischievous nature, that he's a round, very lovable character, but he's also very mischievous, very happy little boy. And in his teen years, then he has many, many girlfriends, the gopis, who all fall in love with him instantly from his charisma and his charm. He has that glow of the god. And as he matures, he falls in love over and over again with these girls. He has a very dear sweetheart, Radha, and they have a really deep and profound love, and Radha is a country girl. And then at some point around age 21, he's summoned. The father is able to alert him, and he discovers his birthright. And so all this time he's been living in a poor country town, you know, in a village with very little, but all that he needs. He has all the love that he needs and all the food that he needs, and he's very happy. And then there's a whole story in the Mahabharata which talks about Lord Krishna doing battle and overthrowing an unjust king. And he takes his rulership and ownership of his lordly status and all that extreme wealth that was always his from his birthright. And then he is married to his birthright queen, Rukmini, and his soulmate and his match. And so he has these many loves, and he also has, you know, the queen of his heart. And I love that story because that story really talks about how we're born into extreme wealth and maybe the circumstances of our parents. Maybe we inherit some things from our parents that would prevent us from knowing that we're born into extreme wealth. Maybe some thought forms, maybe some DNA patterns that are in our system about how maybe we think it's hard to be wealthy or it's hard to have the riches and abundance of life. And we may grow up in an illusion. You know, maybe we grow up in some sense of poverty, even though we all have that divine right to the extreme abundance, to the extreme wealth that is our divine birthright. And then this awakening process of coming into maturity and really knowing in your heart of hearts and clearing away all of those old thought patterns, those old programs, and stepping into your emperor, empress status. You know, that really that whole fully embodied divine state of wealth, of abundance, and of love. So I just love that story. I love the metaphors that it brings forth. how there's this whole period of time, a few years, where Krishna's doing battle with what's unjust. And perhaps that's what we do when we remove all those obstacles from our way and clear ourselves to bring ourselves into that beautiful flow, that receptivity. The Abraham group calls it the vortex, where we get into alignment with the rightness and the perfection of all that is and our own perfection. And we really see and step into our real extreme abundance, our real wealth. So that's a little bit about it. Our abundant and our abundant life with Lord Krishna. There are so many fabulous stories in the Hindu tradition. It's amazing. Really, really wonderful stories. Also in the Indian tradition, there's a wonderful story with the Taj Mahal. So, Ray, do you want to come on the line for a minute?
Sure. Hello, Julie. How are you?
Very good.
Wonderful.
We have some callers coming in?
Yes, we do. We actually have a couple callers on the line, and I'd like to bring on the call area code 314. You're live with Reverend Julie Renee. Welcome. Go ahead.
Hello, this is hello, this is Julie Renee.
Hi, this is Kim.
Oh, hi, Kim.
Hi, how are you?
Welcome to the call. Wonderful.
Well, I'm just, I love what you were talking about. I really do. And I think that's a lot of where I'm at right now, is trying to kind of get in line with, you know, my birthright. You know, what if, you know, I've seen the things that I need to feel great about, that the things I'm seeking out. And so I guess I'm always looking for any input or, you know, thought. So I love that, you know, that last comment in particular, you know, that we are all born into, you know,
yes.
Health, so, or abundance.
Yes.
And so, I guess some direction, if you had any, you know, direction, you know, for me,
okay.
I'd love to hear some of that.
Wonderful, will do. So, Kim has been just recently through the Extreme Abundance course, and how was that for you? Did that start opening things up for you?
No, it really did, and unexpectedly. You know, some things are unexpected, you know, things that open up. You know, they're just a little unexpected. So, but I think my mindset is so much different. You know, I'm a lot more aware and able to receive it and be okay with it.
Exactly. Well, and, you know, what I'm thinking about in this story is about coming into alignment with what's true. So, Lord Krishna escaped his, imminent death as a child. And then he lived a secret life, which was kind of, it was living in an untruth or an illusion. And the illusion was both his and the illusion for everyone else around him. And so I'm thinking about that with the things that we take on from our parents. And, you know, sometimes it's passed down in the DNA, and sometimes it's passed down in social programming, and sometimes actually in just all the words that we hear about how difficult abundance is. But when we look back, actually search through our DNA, we're able to find little hiccups. In my DNA, there were indentured servants on both sides, and actually even my father was kind of hired out as an indentured servant during his high school years to help raise money for the family. My grandmother, on my mother's side, was sold when she was 11 to a family and worked as a servant. My great-grandmother, on my father's side, was sold into a family she was a seamstress and a housekeeper at age 11, so she matured and married. And so I had to clear out for myself, out of my DNA, the indentured servitude, or the always being the keep your head down and don't disturb the flow, or don't reach too high because you don't want to be seen. It was almost like you want to be a little bit invisible. So we have those things, and then we have also our past lives. And a lot of times there'll be a couple hiccups in the past lives that may circumvent us stepping into our full abundance. And I'm really, really excited about this, Kim, because what we're going to be doing with everybody who's coming in through the next abundant group, you're going to get 2 months in the Platinum group for free. And actually, the Platinum group is specifically geared towards women, but men are also welcome to join us. It's like blowing the lid off the top of the glass ceiling, so becoming 6- and 7-figure women. And what we're going to be doing in that course is we're going to be really clearing the DNA patterns, clearing the social miasms. And social miasms are almost like an illness in group mind, you know, like it's something that the whole group belief, but it's not really true, so it's not lined up with what's true. And we'll be having some other teachers who teach wealth and abundance coming on those lessons also. So is there anything specific, though, that you'd like me to look at for you?
Yeah, it's so funny because I have so many different areas, I guess. I'm trying to narrow it down after talking. But I think specifically for me, I'm wondering that I feel with all of my heart, all of my soul, all of my being that, you know, abundance is there for me. I really do. And I just seem to, I don't even know what to call it really for an appropriate word, it just seems that there's always something, always. It's never ending and it's almost relentless. That, you know, it'll get going and I'll be fully feeling in mind and this is right and here it comes, you know, and it's actually producing, you know, wealth or abundance in any particular, you know, say for instance money or in my career, and then something happens that it just derails it. And then here I'm going to start all over, almost all over again, you know, bringing the knowledge that I've, you know, acquired, that it just seems that it's always right there. So I'm wondering why that is. Why does that continue to happen when I'm so ready? Or is it my fear? You know, I just start thinking, oh my gosh, it's there. I know it. You know, I feel it. And wow, it's always so touchable and, you know, just right there. So I'm wondering that was that. Would you
you know, that I do see that, you know, when I look at you clairvoyantly, what that is that's a DNA picture. And it's from your mother's side five generations back. There's some kind of a thing that's like a looping drama picture that's in there that needs to be cleared. And I'm going to clear that for you, and let's just see if that makes some difference.
Thank you. Yeah, it just mystifies me. It can be very frustrating, and you know, especially when I know, you know, I just know it. It's not right, you know.
Just working on clearing that for you. So when I'm clearing something, just to, I know nobody can see me on the radio, so. What I'm doing is I'm shooting a deprogram energy out of my fingertips from both hands into the DNA program that's affecting Kim. So we're actually affecting her cellular body, and we're just shifting that one DNA picture. And there are like millions of pieces of information in those 46 strands of DNA. And there's 22 strands that come from mother, 22 from father, and then 2 are your authentic God strands. And for Kim also, I would just love to have you come through that course again, because the second time you come through the course, you are a different being, and so the course affects you on a much deeper level. So the first time you come through is phenomenal, because it really kind of cracks open the egg. But the second time through is like when you're really going to go deeply in and, you know, really take those next steps and start manifesting at a really big level. Okay, that picture.
Yeah, that would be. Yeah, I would be willing to do that.
Very good. Very, very good. And by the way, that picture is now clear, so that is not in your space anymore. So that should give you some freedom. Yeah. And then you'll always want to choose to go the opposite of drama. And so even in your vocabulary and your wording, when you're going through your day, I'm just so grateful for all the abundance, even when you see a hiccup, even when you think, oh, maybe something is wrong, you're just like, oh, I know this is an opening for the next door. You know, so you just welcome in the things that look like they're not right, just welcome those in.
Okay.
Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very good. Okay.
Well, thank you so much, Julie.
You're welcome. Yes, do we have another caller?
We do. We have a couple of callers, and I was just curious, too, about that clearing process again, and I always love hearing about what you're able to see. And I hope you don't mind me asking more questions about that process because I find it so fascinating. You get an understanding of the past lives and the sort of layers of them. How do you discern all that information that comes at you?
I know I look like a very young woman, but I'm actually a mature woman. And for years, in my 30s, I had just the toughest time sorting that out, and I really appreciate you noticing that that is such a sophistication, and I'm so grateful to be in the stage I'm at now where I have the vitality and the joy, healthy body, and I have all this ability to discern and decipher what I need to look at. And so I actually am specifically asking to see the picture so I don't have to look at all the other things unrelated to the picture. And in this case, we were working on DNA strands, so that's slightly different than past lives in that we're going back into the lives of the former people who lived before Kim. And so we're looking five generations back at her grandmother rather than her past life. But there's another system I use, and we might find that we're doing that with another caller, is where we go into specifically their past lives. And one of the quickest ways in is to say an affirmation that's not true, and we go back into the past life and unhook what happened in the past life. And really it's a matter of just rapidly I've set up a system for myself where I can see what life it was. Was it 9 lives back? Was it 6 lives back? And then quickly I'm looking for what happened, how old they were, what sex they were, and what the specific incident was that caused this out of alignment. So I can't tell you how I set this up. I guess I've been working at this for 18 years, and things just start making sense, and then I do that.
It sounds like you've got some pretty wonderful librarian-like guys on the other side that bring you the right book. At the right time. It's a wonderful. We do have another caller. I'm going to bring on the line area code 519. Go ahead, you're live with Reverend Julie Renee.
Hi there, my name is Jennifer. Nice to talk to you.
Hi, Jennifer. Welcome. I think you're a new voice to me.
I am. I've never called into the show before.
Well, thank you.
A lot of people are afraid to do the medical intuition.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've been doing it my old work process here, so. Yeah, what would you like to know? How can I help you?
I just got back from the specialist today, and I have a cyst that's caught in between my heart and my esophagus, and you've never really quite seen anything like it before because of what it contains. And he wants to know whether or not he should do surgery, and he's giving that choice to me, but my feeling, and I just want a second opinion from you, is that no, it'll just, I think it has something to do with the new chakras.
Well, I don't know about a chakra, but you don't need surgery. I think you can do like an erasure technique on that, and it'll disappear. I don't think it's not going to cause you any serious problems. And so, I mean, you always want to, you know, follow guidance, but I see no reason to move forward on a surgery. That actually would, you know, exhaust your body. And an erasure is actually like you could shrink it by shooting just energy. And you're so welcome to call me after the show or shoot me an email and we can do a session. I can teach you how to do that, or I can do that for you. So we're just shrinking it.
Yeah.
We just shrink it until it's not there.
Wow, that's awesome. Okay. That's something I'd like to do with you. I'll send you
Perfect. Perfect.
Thank you so much.
Blessings. All righty. Hey, do we have some more calls? I think. Maybe so.
Can you give out your email address so everyone has that?
Oh, absolutely. IN8@JulieRenee.com. And that's JulieRenee.com. IN8@JulieRenee.com.
So if people are listening both live or on the recorded show, please feel free to connect with Julie. And also, her website is just a wealth of information. I can kind of give you more perspective on how she works and to see if this is a match for you. Her website is julierenee.com. Very easy to remember. We do have some more callers, and their hands are high in the air, so I'm going to go ahead and bring them on. Let's see. Area code 212, you are live with Reverend Julie Renee. Go ahead.
Hi, Julie. Thank you for taking my call. This is Natalie.
Hi, Natalie.
How are you today?
Wonderful. How are you?
Good, thanks. I am calling to find out if there are any messages for me from my spiritual guide, because I'm having some issues deciding what to do next.
Oh, and is this in career or in...
No, it's not just spirituality, spiritual action. I do want to practice shamanic healing.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also working full time. So I'm finding it difficult to bridge the two and find the time to really meditate and do the healing work.
What I'm seeing for you right now is in the stage that you're at in your life, meditation will be very, very important to you. But to take on the full practice of being a shamanic healer, it's a little bit premature, but you can certainly be moving towards that, but it would be too much. It would be out of sync with how much you have going on in your life right now. But to ground a meditation practice is really, really important for you at this moment. So that's got to be key for you. And do you have a style of meditation that you like? I have, you know, that's one of the things that I do teach, and so there must be like 31 CDs that I've got now out on guided meditation style. So, but if you have do you have a meditation that you like to do?
Well, what I usually do, I have meditation tapes at home too, so
mm-hmm.
maybe I listen to those, or I listen to Reiki music and try to clear my mind and. But I'm feeling it difficult to visualize. I used to do it, but now it's very difficult for me to.
You know, I've got one CD that's a match for you. It's called The Definitive Guide to Meditation. And it's going to help clear out the center of your head. So that particular one where you sit in the center of the head, you're going to clear your energy channels. So you clear your light channels, your meridians. The back of your head... 1 inch above where the spine is the genetic entity, and that's where spirit and body are connected from birth. And that meditation, it's like, there's three of them. There's a 37-minute long meditation that's the training meditation. And I think that you'll just really experience a lot of mental clarity doing that particular meditation. And in addition to that, you'll start having a clearer vision. The other one that people really, really love is the abundance meditation, your guide to generating powerfully abundant life. And the reason for that one is that also dynamic health shows up. You're mocking up your beautiful life. So what a mock-up is actually setting an intention and holding it as already happened, even though you haven't seen physical evidence of it. And one of the things that people always love about that particular CD is that they, within a week or two, start feeling like radiantly healthy. So just a nice bonus on that one. Yeah. That CD is the course CD for the class that's coming up next Friday. So you might want to check that out.
I will check it on the website.
Thank you so much,
Adam.
Blessings to you. And good luck on your meditation practice. It's a worthy goal.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Blessings. Bye-bye.
I know that is always a challenge when many of us are moving into a more spiritual type of work to balance out the sort of other, I want to say, quote-unquote, corporate world or real world stuff that we have done in the past. And you made that transition yourself, didn't you, from kind of working in the sort of nitty-gritty?
Oh, yes. I was a real estate agent and licensed in two states. I was licensed in Minnesota and California. And that's a long time ago now. And really wanted to be doing my heart's desire rather than, I could do it. I didn't leave real estate. I left real estate with, I think, 9 transactions in the hopper. So I was definitely very successful. But just felt like it wasn't my soul calling. I had the talent to do it, but it felt like a barren wasteland to me in a way. And it certainly doesn't have to, but I didn't. I worked every day and hadn't done music or art in 5 years. I hadn't really, just a lot of my life was just about work. And I just wanted to come into alignment with myself. And I'll tell you, the transition was quite challenging. It was kind of a surrender. I remember quitting work kind of abruptly and really having this sense of falling into, you know, like being on a tightrope wire and falling into a net. And I remember really thinking about that, like, okay, God, catch me, because I don't know what I'm doing next. And I felt like I laid in the net for a while before I got up and kind of started making that choice to go into. What I first started doing was I got licensed as a masseuse and also started teaching yoga classes. A lot of people don't know that. I taught yoga classes for the first couple of years in my massage practice. And I've always done readings for people forever, since I can remember. So readings were part of the practice, but not so strongly until maybe the last decade, readings have been really a big deal. So that's kind of the transition story for me.
And it can happen. There's a number of people waiting to speak with you, so I'm going to go move right ahead. Area code 415, you're live with Reverend Julie Renee. Go ahead. Oh, 1 second.
Hello?
Go ahead.
Hello?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah,
hello.
Okay. I have a question regarding weight yo-yoing. And I find that, I get motivated to release weight, like if I'm going on a vacation or some stuff that does come up. And then after that, after I get back, and I start putting the weight back on, you know, the yo-yoing thing that I'm sure really, really tired of it. And how do you break that cycle?
Well, you know, just as, it looks to me like there's a couple things that are weighing on you. One of the things that we haven't done, the two of us, and maybe we could do that in a session. Maybe we could even do it on the phone, but it might take a little bit of time. There's that process of going through your past life, and there's a couple things that are out of whack in your past life that don't allow you to have the willpower to stay on track. So, those things that I do, and I don't think we've done this yet. I love myself. I trust myself. I can express my unique self. So we go back and we clear those, and then we clear the whatever the interruptions are. That definitely looks like past lives. It looks like the other things are pretty cleared out. Like, you know the information. You know how to keep that weight down. But there's some things that aren't yet in sync with you on in your spiritual body, believe it or not your physical body, but your spiritual body. So those would need to clear. And then it seems to me, it looks like it really does shift for you, that you just are able to just stay at that steady weight.
So we need to do the work on the deeper levels then, in the spiritual body,
Yeah, it's actually really rapid. It's probably 15, 20 minutes. I don't know that we want to use a radio time to do that, but I'm really happy to work with you on that because it is really rapid to clear those couple things. It doesn't take much time.
I'd like to do that, but it's sure frustrating to me. I exercise and I eat well, but I'm just, something's going on that I don't understand and I want to break through it.
Yeah, good. Well, let's do that. Fantastic.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome. Pleasure.
It is really interesting how the subconscious is so much a part in all those different levels there it is, that we can kind of do all the surface work, and yet there's still that one switch that isn't flipped, you know, and it's so good to be able to go deeper and sort of do that clearing, as you say, so we give ourselves an opportunity to really make some changes.
It's really wonderful, and I can't tell you what a joy it is for me to facilitate people just getting into their right way of experiencing life, you know, not feeling frustrated anymore. Like, oh, I think I've got everything down, and yet something keeps coming back. You know, the cat came back. Do you know that song? The cat came back. My brother used to sing it to me. He goes, the cat came back. We thought he was a goner, but the cat came back. He just wouldn't stay. Funny, they threw the cat over the boat and, oh yes, I'll take another caller.
I know, I'm just going to keep working in here, Julie, because we don't have a full house here. I'm going to keep going.
Oh, I love it.
You're listening to Miraculous Living Radio with Reverend Julie Renee, and I'm going to bring on to the line a caller from the 310 area code. Go ahead.
Would that be me?
That would be you. Welcome.
Oh. How cool. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning. Who am I speaking to?
Oh, I was just about to say something about you were talking about loving yourself, and I was going to say there's a great song about loving yourself.
Yes.
You know who this is?
Is this... Well, why don't you tell me? Is it Guy?
It is.
Oh my gosh, that's clairvoyant.
Well, I knew you a little
bit,
didn't I?
Yeah. Hi, Jai. Welcome to the call. It's so sweet that you're on. Thank you.
Go ahead, please.
I was just going to say to everybody, Jai is a songwriter, singer-songwriter. And what would you like to say?
Well, you know, I'm still dealing with the same physical challenges. They have been coming and going, getting better and worse, mostly better. My spirit is in excellent shape, but the physical challenges don't seem to go away. So one of the things that I've been doing is laying for a long time in bed and resting in the morning. And it was suggested to me recently that I use that time productively. And so I woke up this morning, checked my email, saw your email about the show, and just called up.
I love that. That's wonderful. You know what, Jai, when I look at you on a physical level, you have quite a few interruptions in your spiritual body. So chakras aren't properly functioning. You have some challenges in your aura. One of the things I do with people who have ongoing health issues, like the chronic things, is that we actually even turn on the golden rings, which are your halo. And that's your creator, God force, to really take those extra steps. Sometimes we need more of a miraculous space than just having things just kind of so-so. So for you, let's see. Chakra 4 is working, and chakra 7 is working. That means that those 5 body chakras aren't on or working. So you're not having enough energy flow in your body to help you really embody a full healing. So you want to have those chakras come back on. And then there's some challenges in your aura. Layer 1, 2, and 6. 1, 2, and 6 of your aura layers need some tuning up. They have some gray energy in them. So I'm hoping that's helpful for you. I'm happy to work with you specifically on how to do that, how to get those things tuned back up. But
chakra work I'm very familiar with, and I can focus more on those. Aura work I'm not.
Okay. Yeah, and the aura, well, and the chakras, remember that a lot of people don't kind of take into consideration you've got a front and back part of the chakra. So you want to just make sure that the chakras are on and spinning. And you want to clear and repair any broken pieces of chakras. Surprises people to know that sometimes pieces of chakra break off. So you want to repair those. And then on the aura, what I do, which is pretty rapid, is I do a deprogram of the gray or black energy in that layer. And then we let your perfect color surface, so we don't really control the color, but we clear away the failed energy, the gray, black, sometimes white energy in there.
Oh, well, it's good to know. We should talk about this more. Maybe we'll give you a call and see what's new. But last time we spoke, you laid out this vast program, which was a bit too vast for you.
Yeah, well, the chakra aura thing we can do easily in an hour, maybe even less.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, then maybe we'll do that. Maybe I will call you. And one last thing, if you're not doing anything tomorrow night, I'm playing down at the Taste of Grill in Sausalito. Come on down.
Well, thank you for the invitation. And everybody who's on the call that's in the Bay Area, that's Jai and your group. And what is your group's name called?
We're Neck and Neck, Two Guitars.
Okay, so it's two of you.
Yes, it's Will and the percussionist as well.
Okay, fantastic. Thanks so much for the call, Jai. Blessings.
See you soon. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Jai. That was wonderful. It's an invitation to hear some music, too, in Sausalito. Very awesome. Julie, we have another caller, but before we go there, I wanted to see if you could just talk a little bit about the aura. So those of us who are not familiar with what that means, and when we've heard it, there's sort of been a Hollywoodizing of what the aura is. What do you mean when you say aura?
Well, the aura is our energetic bubble. It's kind of like our energetic sleeping bag that surrounds us, protects us, keeps us thermal insulation. There are seven layers, and the layers are somewhat related to the seven chakras. The first layer of the aura is within the first couple inches of the skin, so from your skin out the first couple inches. And the seventh layer, the farthest layer out, is really the layer, the sixth and seventh are the layers that you show to people. So if you're running bright, happy colors like pinks and yellows, oranges in those outer layers, people will see you as a happy person, even if they don't really see the aura, because most people don't actually physically see the aura. Whenever I wear like a peach color, people just like, really like, oh my God, that's your color, or red. And those happen to be like the colors that are my well-being colors, and so they're often like woven into my aura. And so when I'm wearing it, when I actually have the clothes on, people were like, wow. But it's really because it's in sync with who I am and my essence. Is that helpful?
No, that is. It's beautiful. And I'd love to see what you see. Miraculous. Julie, we're going to take a real quick break. Caller on hold. Please don't go away. We'll be right back with you. But I wanted to take a break, give you a moment. And we have some wonderful announcements about some more things that you're doing. So you're listening to Miraculous Living Radio. Hold on, we'll be right back. And we're back, and that was me and more me. Two wonderful courses that are upcoming, and I hope that people take advantage of getting a little deeper. I mean, the radio show here is an opportunity for people to introduce what they're working on with you and sort of have a little bit of a dive into where they might be. But the courses are really a deep dive and an opportunity to get more detail about what's going on with you. So so wonderful that there's opportunities to really shift and change. And there is no better time than now to just say yes to it. So lots of opportunities. So we have another caller, and I'm going to bring them on. Area code 267, you are live on Miraculous Living. Go ahead.
Hi, Julie.
Hello, welcome to the call.
Thank you for having me. My name is Todd, I'm from Philadelphia. I've been suffering from eczema, allergies, and asthma pretty much for the balance of my life. But lately I've been having a lot of muscle pains, abdominal pains, and things of this sort. I just wanted to get some insight into that, if that's at all possible.
Yeah. Boy, you've got a bunch of things going on. Let's see. Let's hone in on a couple of them. First of all, Todd, you've got some challenges. They look like some things that are wired into DNA. So when I look at the last thing, you had said something about intestinal challenges. Is that what you said?
Yes.
And there's black energy in your intestines. I'm going to just deprogram that. But you're probably going to want to do a little extra work. Maybe we can do a session or two together. There's something wired into your DNA that is causing a fail, like the body to fail. The lung asthma, the lung is also got black energy in it, and it's that from age 3. So did you have asthma? Is that when it started showing up, like your parents noticed it?
Yeah, actually, Nick, at age 3, a lot of things start happening around that time.
Yes, there's some trauma that needs to be cleared from that age because it just hasn't found its way to clear out of you. There's a thing for lung challenges, and, I can relate to you. Excuse me, I had asthma for quite a few years, and I cleared that for myself, so I no longer have asthma. I'm actually a long-distance runner now. I run 18 miles on the weekend, and that was just not going to happen. With the asthma that I've had for a long, long time. So we can bring that sparkly light and restore the lungs back to their righteousness, their good, sparkly self. Let's see, is that cleared? Yeah. So I've cleared the black both from the lungs and from the intestines. The skin, that's that's gathering information. Your skin, your brain and your nervous system are all formed with the same embryonic material, and it's that really that material that allows you to receive your intelligent information, all that information that's coming in around you. So to have that large surface area all be affected, let's see, that would affect your ability to receive the information from outside of you. Oh, and the skin has a black energy in it also. So, you do have, you don't eat dairy, do you?
I try not to. I really try not to.
That seems to be one of the things that stimulates more of a skin problem for you. It looks like dairy is like an absolute no-no. It's like worse than an allergy. It's kind of a poison for your skin.
Okay.
So I would definitely stay away from that. So I think, between some clearing some trauma, there's some stuff in the DNA about breaking down stuff. You could use a tune-up, man.
I know. I really feel like I really could.
Yeah. Well, do shoot me an email. Maybe we can talk about how that works. And we could definitely.
Great. I will definitely.
Yeah,
definitely.
Okay. Blessings, Todd.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful day. Thank you for calling.
You're welcome.
And Julie Renee, let's go ahead and get out your email address again so folks can connect with you if they'd like to
okay.
Get more specific about what's going on with them.
IN8@JulieRenee.com
Perfect. And for information about the classes and other opportunities, it's JulieRenee.com, which is easy. Well, we've come to the end of our hour, and what I'm hoping we could do to sort of wrap up, and again, thank you to all the callers. It was really wonderful to connect in with people this morning. I was hoping we could end with a meditation. Does that feel okay to you, Julie?
Definitely. Let's go ahead and do that. Everybody who's listening, please find a comfortable seated position with your spine erect and your feet on the ground. And taking a few breaths in and out. And as you breathe in the love and positive energy from the universe. And as you breathe out all negativity, breathing in hand out. Send a grounding cord down from the base of your spine to the center of the earth. Make the grounding cord nice and wide. Set the grounding cord on release and begin to release all the excess energy in the body. And let's just release any stress, fight or flight energy, anxiety, worry or concern, negativity. Let's let it all go. And my girls like to create a little whirlwind or a tornado in their grounding cord. A lot of my guys like to imagine a toilet flushing. So whatever image you want to use, go for that. And let's just do a little amplifying removal of that excess energy, that energy that's not in sync with your happy, vibrant self. And while we're doing that, since we've had several callers come in today that had dark energies in the organs and in the skin, let's just imagine that all of us are setting our bodies on release and releasing any dark energy in the glands and organs, muscles, tissue, bones. Let's let all the black energy go down the grounding cord too. And continue to breathe in and out. Let's go up to just above the waist, and we'll find those adrenals sitting on top of the kidneys, cute little glands that look a bit like acorns with hats. They're 1 inch above the waistline, 2 inches off the spine, kind of smack dab in the middle of your body. And let's ground those with a line of energy as wide as your wrist, hollow in the center, so you're drawing a kind of a V down to the perineum or the first chakra, which is, or you can do it at the base of the spine, either one. And then send a straight line down through the big grounding cord down to the center of the earth. And let's just push a little release button on the right adrenal and a release button on the left adrenal. And let's just clear out all the nervous tension, worry, concern, and stress from the adrenals, which really have a big influence on our nervous system. Beautiful. That's amazing. All of you guys are doing a really, really good job. Now let's go up to the center of the head, and sitting in our throne room in the center of the head, let's go ahead and open a trap door out the back of the head and take a spiritual fire hose and just quickly wash out the center of your head. Let's wash out looping thoughts, concerns, worries. Let's wash out the garbage. We've got a bunch of paper stacked up and cobwebs in that center of the head. Let's get them out. If you haven't been up there meditating very often, you might have some squatters. You got to kick them out too. The little voices that bug you all the time. Take that spiritual fire hose and wash them all out. Wow. That's looking a lot better, everyone. Okay, and pull the back, that trap door back shut, and then you're going to sit on your throne. Maybe you have a golden throne. And I like to think of the center of the head as your golden temple of silence. So the walls might be a golden cave made with pure gold, and you have a golden throne. Maybe you have a blue or red velvet cushion on that golden throne, and you're very comfortable there. I'm very much in sync with yourself, the master of your universe, open to love. And then popping off the top of the head and pulling your aura into 18 inches around your body. So remember, that's that bubble that surrounds you. That's your energetic bubble. That's you. That's more of you. That's the energy that kind of protects you and holds you and comforts you. And when we pull it in, a lot of times people have their aura way the heck out and they are collecting all kinds of gunk from other people's auras. So what we want to do is just pull that aura nice and tight in to 18 inches around the body. And you should actually even feel it. It might actually feel like a sleeping bag. Very good. And if there are any dings, dents, or holes in your eye, why don't you just take a minute with your spiritual hands and smooth out the dings or dents. If there's some holes, maybe you can take some magic aura spray and spray out in those holes so there's no holes in the aura. Dings and dents come maybe when you've had an argument with somebody. They might make a ding or a dent in your aura. That's how those get there. Sometimes you can get a dent if you've, like, pulled in front of somebody on the freeway and they're mad at you and you don't even know that you did something. So just clean that up every day. All right, and then we'll put a golden Roomba, a spiritual vacuum cleaner, at the top of your head. And this Roomba is like a little robot room, vacuum cleaner. And it's gold, so it's the energy of God. And let's just have it spiral around your head, and we're going to vacuum up all the dust bunnies and fuzz balls in the aura. Let's just go ahead and vacuum that up. And it's just spiraling all the way around. All the way down around your ankles. And let's throw that golden vacuum cleaner down the grounding cord. And then very quickly we'll open our feet to earth energy, our feet chakras, and just like a camera lens, a 35mm camera lens, the shutter opens. Let's open that shutter. And let earth energy just flow up through the feet, ankles, shins, calves, knees, thighs, out the hips and down the grounding cord. And then also in the back of the head, 1 inch above where the spine meets the skull, let's bring a line of energy into the back of the head, and down into your neck and shoulders, arms, elbows, forearms, wrists, and out the fingertips, and bringing more of that cosmic energy down through the back channels, looping up through the belly, through the chest, through the head, popping out the top of the head. There you go. It's spouting out like a beautiful Italian fountain, bathing and cleansing your aura. And then putting a golden sun at the top of your head, and there you sit as a handsome yogi or a beautiful yogini. Let's pull you back into your body, all the way down to your fingers and toes, legs and arms, torso, neck, and head. And wiggling your fingers and toes, maybe rubbing your hands on your legs and your arms, patting the back of your head and neck and the top of your head and your forehead. Coming back into the room, let's rub our hands together in front of our heart chakra, creating some spiritual heat and energy. Take a deep breath in through your nose and out through your mouth. And put your hand, right hand over your left on your chest. And breathing in silently, say to yourself, I love myself. I trust myself. I will express my unique self. And welcome back.
Thank you, Julie Renee. We thank you all for a wonderful morning. And we'll see you next time on Miraculous Living Radio.